When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, I do got a lot of love for you.
Thank
301,
you.
Not you, John.
Oh, I'm sorry.
On a live imaging Tuesday, the biggest show on the radio, Mason in Ireland is on. Mm. Also on Michelob Ultra Reaction Tuesday. Sad stuff last night. Heartbreak in the Mile High City.
Tore the heart out of Lakers Nation.
Michelob Ultra, 2.6 carbs, 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it.
Need it now.
Sucker.
Yeah.
Hey, Mace, let me find...
What are you looking for? I probably got it.
No, I'm looking. I'm looking for a tweet.
Oh, a tweet
that a Laker fan sent to us.
They throwing in the towel.
Well, a lot of them are.
Yeah.
But
you
here
can't
it
come
is.
Back from that last night.
From JR. All right, you ready?
Yes.
Change coaches again? Every 2 years, change the coach. What are we doing here? What is wrong with some of you Laker fans? We would officially be the laughing stock of the sports world. You keep them in build. Stop firing coaches every other year. Now, this is directed at you.
Yeah.
You're the one advocating.
It's a really tough job to be the head coach of the Lakers. And if you are not successful, and for example, if the optics are that you go out in the first round in a sweep or in a gentleman's sweep, to me, it's required that you make a change.
It has always been a win or you're fired job.
Yeah,
but
it's
think
a tough
this
game.
Guy JR makes a really good point. I just said it to Chris while you were in the bathroom.
We talk while you're away.
Okay,
oh, good.
So since Phil Jackson retired in 2011,
yep.
Mike Brown 2 years and out, Mike D'Antoni 2 years and out, Byron Scott 2 years and out, Luke Walton 2 years and out, Frank Vogel won a title, so he got 3 years.
Right.
And this would be Darvin 2 years and out. This guy's got a point.
But the question is, I mean, in your gut, if I say, is Darvin Ham a championship coach?
My answer, what does your gut say?
Yeah,
I don't know. But people would have said that about Nick Nurse before he won the title. Or people would have said that about Mike Budenholzer. People used to say, no, he's not.
Right, right.
And then he won a title.
Sure.
But he's fired.
He's fired.
Right. So, but I'm just saying, you never know if a guy is a championship coach until he wins.
But different coach last night, Mace, do they win?
No, they can't beat Denver. They don't have the talent to beat Denver.
So
they're just, it's a
we
terrible
had this
loss.
Argument. If that's true, right. Why change the coach?
Right. We had this argument a few weeks ago. You said, I didn't know what I'm talking about. Dr. Buss.
I will stand by that. I will stand by whatever I said.
The only thing that should be cared about the next 5 years, if you're a team that has to compete with Denver, and obviously the Lakers can't,
sure,
is how do we beat the Nuggets?
Correct.
And keep
is a coach going to change
those,
that?
All
could.
Those Nuggets guys are young.
Yeah.
They're
young. They're all under 30. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the problem is you're going to have to go through Denver no matter what the next few years. Now, I think that if the Lakers add a third star, whether it be Donovan Mitchell or maybe Trae Young or some of the names that are it changes the equation a little bit.
But would Donovan and Mitchell or Trae Young did any better than D'Angelo Russell did last night? Russell wasn't the problem.
Russell was great.
Yeah.
But you don't subscribe to the you can't. So you can't talk about Trae. But if you think about the Lakers,
I can talk about him in general terms. I think they will go out and shuffle the roster at the end of this year, regardless of how the season ends. I think they're going after a third star.
So to answer your question, Mace, Trae Young, I don't think would have done anything different than D'Angelo Russell last night.
Yeah, maybe Mitchell. Mitchell's been really good.
They both
Mitchell,
shoot and
Mitchell
don't defend.
Absolutely would have done something. That is a true star. That is, D'Angelo Russell isn't that
big.
Yeah,
he's
of a
got
star.
His team up 2-0. Mitchell
now, what's his? Is he a free agent or is he a trade target?
He has another year before his
his there's just a lot of speculation that he would ask to be traded, but that doesn't mean he'd be traded to the Lakers.
Right.
I mean, he could go anywhere. There's a lot of rumors that
he would go to
he's
the
from
Knicks.
New York.
Yeah, and the Knicks are pretty good.
Why would you take the ball out of Jalen Brunson's hands?
I mean, he's just
and
unbelievable.
And DiVincenzo has been unbelievable, too. So you brought up the Dodgers.
Yes.
Do you guys think...
By the way, Dodgers in Washington, early start today.
Yeah, in less than an hour.
James Paxton on the mound for LA.
Do you guys think... how many...
For Paxton? Why is that?
I don't know. How many games do you guys think the Dodgers will win?
I started really high, and now I think 101.
Greg, you think they'll win 100 games?
Yeah, I think they'll win about 107.
I'm now in between 95 and 100. I think they're going to de-emphasize the regular season a little bit.
Well, I agree with that. But I think they'll accidentally win 100. I think they got so much talent.
I think they'll win in the 90s.
That makes sense. They've been de-emphasizing the playoffs for years, so might as
well
go for the regular season.
Yeah, no, it's time to put all the – like, I don't care if they win 90. They're on pace for 88. Right? I don't care if they win the division and get to the postseason. That's what I want, and that's where they need to perform. I don't care about 115 wins or whatever the hell they think.
Well, you know the old baseball saying, every team's going to win 60, every team's going to lose 60. It's the other 42 that matter.
Right, right.
And you know that basically every year in this run that the Dodgers have started somewhere around 500 after 20 games.
Right.
It's, usually,
Greg, always.
Greg smiles at all my bits except when they're Dodgers related. He doesn't smile. He takes it very seriously.
He kind of sneers. Yeah, he sneers.
The Blue Review. Weekday mornings at 9:30 a.m.
It's a sneer.
On our YouTube channel at ESPN Los Angeles, presented by our friends at LAX.
But the one thing, and we've talked a lot about the bottom of the lineup, which is terrible. They really are struggling. I pulled some numbers today that are just outrageous. The amount of production they're getting from 7-8-9 is a disaster. The bullpen has been shaky at best. They're waiting for Brewster Raterol to get back. And Bergman, you say mid-May?
I think mid-May. I think it's May 18th or 19th. He's eligible to come off the 60-day.
Blake Treinen, who's always hurt but is rehabbing at OKC.
He's in OKC. They want him to at least pitch in back-to-back games before they bring him back.
And the guy you can't use anymore, at least not right now, is Ryan Brazier, who's been a mess.
No, he's been a mess. I think Parker actually on the Blue Review had a stat that it was 7 of 7 runners inherited have scored.
God.
And he's also given up 6 runs, so he's allowed 13 runs.
That's crazy. The only reliever that I really Joe Kelly's put together a string of scoreless innings, so I'm okay with that.
He gave up a couple against the Mets, but he's fine.
And Evan Phillips is
great,
absolutely terrific. So those are the only two pieces of the bullpen I like right now.
Not Daniel Hudson.
He's given – how many home runs has he given up?
I think he's given up 2.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't have a great feeling. I have a great feeling – I only have a great feeling when it's Joe Kelly or it's Evan Phillips. Other than that, I think it's all sketchy.
Yeah, it's going to be mostly
sketchy. And the bullpen, by the way, by the end of the year, won't look anything like the bullpen we see right now. They'll juggle everything.
All right, let me ask you guys something, as Michael would say.
Okay.
Did you guys see the Aaron Boone ejection in the Yankee game? So Aaron Boone got ejected because the umpire thought he heard somebody ripping him.
Now, I've got sound of this.
It's very hard to play on the
radio.
You can try
it. It'll illustrate it a little bit, and we can tell you what happened, but this...
Look, he gets a thumbs up. No big deal. I got...
Threw him out. I don't care who said it, you're gone. I mean, Yonder Wendell's stat is so off base for that.
I don't care who said it, you're gone. He said.
So you've taken me where I wanted to go. So afterwards, Hunter Wendelstedt is a longtime Major League Baseball umpire. His dad, Harry Wendelstedt, was a baseball umpire. After the game, they said, why'd you throw Aaron Boone? And by the way, John Boy got into this, and it's clearly a fan that was sitting right above the dugout. Aaron Boone said nothing. Literally, not one word. And so they asked Wendelstedt, why did you throw him out? Aaron, we've got video now. That was a fan. And here's what Wendelstedt said. Apparently, Aaron thinks there was a fan right above the dugout. This isn't my first ejection. In the entirety of my career, I have never ejected a player or manager for something a fan has said. I understand that's going to be part of the story because that's what Aaron is portraying. I heard something come from the far end of the dugout. Had nothing to do with his area, but he's the manager of the Yankees, so he's the one who has to go.
What an idiotic response.
Why not just say...
How about, I'm sorry, I
misunderstood. That's on me. I'll do better next time. Umpires, Greg, have this, and this is why we're going to go to an electronic strike zone, too.
Absolutely.
They have this thing that I'm right, you're wrong, and I don't care if the facts don't support my argument.
Yep.
And I don't know why they continue to do this.
No, they do it constantly, and they don't have a consistent strike zone. There's nothing good about these umpires anymore.
Right.
Everything they're doing
is about...
And then
there's that one guy, Angel Hernandez, that just keeps calling strikes that are right down the middle balls.
Right.
And so this is behavior like strikes. This is why we're going to have an electronic strike zone at the start of next year, in my opinion.
You think it's start of next year?
Yeah, they're already doing it in AAA.
Now, in AAA, Bergman, correct me if I'm wrong. They're doing challenges, right?
Yeah, they're doing challenges. So apparently it's you have one challenge per at-bat and three challenges for the game, each player. So
By the way, this is stupid.
No,
and
okay.
You just tap your head
Ryan,
if you want a challenge.
See if you can find the Paul Skeens challenge
from
last week.
Paul Skeens is unbelievable. Okay. We had a challenge in AAA?
Yeah. So Paul Skeens is the number one draft pick of the Pirates.
Has thrown more 100-mile-an-hour pitches this year than anybody by a lot.
Yeah, he's going to be a big star in Major League Baseball. But the thing that was impressive to me was last week he was pitching in a AAA game. And Travis and Sliwa played this, Brian, so I know it's in the system somewhere. Skeens threw a pitch that he thought was strike three to end the inning. The umpire called it a ball. He tapped his hat, which meant I want you to look at that again and see if it was a strike. The umpire reviewed it, called it a strike, rung up the batter, ended the inning, maced the whole thing. The whole thing took 10 seconds.
10 seconds?
Yeah. Like, it's the opposite of what happens with reviews in the NBA.
Let me ask you this.
They've got it down to somehow. That I'm okay with. The NBA would have stopped the game, thrown to a break, gone to the monitor, looked at it for 5 minutes, talked among themselves, comes back.
In other words, so you can only challenge one pitch per at bat. Why should not all the pitches be reviewed if you're able to do that? When you've got guys like Angel Hernandez who are missing 10% of their strike calls. I mean,
that's where I think it's going. I think the thing that they're doing in AAA with Skeens and everybody else, the reviews, they're trying. But where I think it's heading is Questech is available in every major league ballpark right now. That's the electronic strike zone. They will, within a year, I think, have an electronic strike zone, and the umpire will simply administer the calls. So he'll get like one beep for a strike, two for a ball, and he'll just make the call so the fans understand.
Because if you're going to review once, why not just get them all right? Makes so much more sense.
Well, you know me, I'm against reviews in general.
But this isn't a review, right? This is the machine is saying ball or strike, and the umpire is reporting.
This is why I just say, let's switch to the electronic strike zone. Don't even get rid of the appeal process. Just everything now is either a ball or a strike, and that's it.
Agreed. That's the way to go.
It just doesn't. The whole thing, though, their review process is fast. The NBA's review process is insanely slow.
Yeah.
And like we saw last night, they get it wrong, even if it's on video.
All right, coming up next, this is interesting. Oh, that's romantic. Me and Morales sharing a rib.
Yeah. That's the highlight photo for the day.
Oh my God.
That's ugly.
Cappy's going to be jealous.
I'm sure he will.
I sent it today? I sent it to Juan.
Is he at the East Central now? You do not have Juan's number.
I'm going to send it right now.
Show me the text.
Just sent it.
Yeah.
You're on it. Got it. I put you on it, too.
All right, coming up next, what color will Kayla Williams' nail polish be Thursday night? You can actually bet on it.
Really?
Yeah, we'll do that coming up next. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Speaking of the East Central Hotel, you know that's Cappy's home away from home, my home too. When we're staying in downtown L.A., it's a contemporary hotel with an authentic L.A. vibe located in the heart of downtown L.A. across from L.A. Live, Crypto.com Arena, Microsoft Theater, and the Convention Center. And whether you're just staying by yourself or you're sharing a rib from Lazy Dog with one of your friends, the East Central Hotel downtown L.A. has the largest rooms of any hotel in downtown. The TVs are beautiful. They got the giant hand where you can put your keys, your accoutrement, bam, and have a lovely evening at the East Central Hotel. Maybe you want a little cocktail before you go to sleep. Go to the Nixo Lounge overlooking Fig. It's beautiful, especially on these spring summer nights coming up. You take a lady friend there or a male friend or any friend, and you say, hey, let's have a cocktail at the Nixo Lounge, shall we? The East Central Hotel, downtown L.A. Call 213-748-1291 and get your room today. Maybe you meet up with TV's Clinton Yates at the Nixo Lounge. Yeah. You never know. The East Central Hotel, 213-748-1291, East Central Hotel in downtown Los Angeles. Entertainment's official address.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
3:19 in the Southland on a live imaging Tuesday.
I always wanted to solve a crime as a talk show host.
This is the theme song by the great smooth jazz artist Rick Braun, the Midnight Caller theme. Of course, we were talking about Gary Cole, and in the 80s,
great guy.
Midnight Caller TV show. He was in San Francisco. He was a late night radio host, which was a former cop. But then he went out after his show, John, and much like you and I might have a cocktail and try to meet a breezy, as they say.
Yeah.
Not him. He was trying to solve crimes.
He'd solve crimes.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
He was going to Chinatown.
He did the old 7 to midnight shift and then solved a crime.
He was going to Little Italy.
That's a day of work right there. Yeah, exactly. That's a great show.
He's going into the Tenderloin.
Tenderloin. The Tenderloin, by the way, is really rough now.
It is rough.
The Tenderloin has always been rough.
Oh, yeah.
But it's really rough
now. You could find stuff there if you needed to.
Yeah, no, you absolutely could.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love the circulation of the sharing of the rib. Now, you believe, Morales and I shared a rib earlier. It was, I was very cautious about
it. Two boys, one rib.
Yeah, and I think, is that a bit of the year nominee? The sharing of the rib? What's the difference between sharing a rib and sharing a hot dog?
Well, because that was 22 inches and it was a long played out bit.
This is harder. This is like a smaller rib.
As we get ready, by the way.
Oh, these are bit of the year nominees?
As we get ready for Mandy's 3, we were at Commerce today. That's why I was off
awesome,
the air.
Awesome, awesome.
We've got the 22-inch glizzy.
Yep.
What is the date of Mandy's 3?
June 22nd.
Okay.
We've got the pie eating contest from Iowans.
Oh, yeah, that was good. That was good.
We've got...
one by Bergman.
Nut milk from Ramona.
Oh, Momo and her nut milk.
I will soak the nuts overnight.
We've got John with the the ChatGPT.
ChatGPT with Lisa, where at the end of it she said...
You monster.
Exactly right.
Yes.
We've got
a love note from ChatGPT for Valentine's Day. I thought it was very nice. She did not.
We've got Island Boys for Halloween.
Island Boys, that's a good one. You went trick or treating, right?
Well, how many nominees can there be?
Well, bit of the year kind of carries the station.
Okay.
Island Boys.
Yeah.
Island Boys.
And then there's a collection of mounts that we could use when Cappy's mounting me. Like last week was a morning mount. That was the first ever morning mount.
Oh, really? You've never been mounted in the morning?
Not by Cappy.
Oh. Not by Cappy.
Yeah, your relationship is progressing.
Are you sure? You guys spend a lot of time.
Although there was no, that was an afternoon mount at Yamava. That was a hotel room afternoon mount.
Wow, lots of choices here. Is that it? Is that the list?
No, I'm missing some, but we'll get there.
Okay. When does the voting open?
Potentially next week.
I need to know when to start the bots. I've got Russian bots that are going to vote for Mason and Ireland for show of the year and me for host of the year.
That's fine. Why don't you want John to win host of the year?
I would remove myself from consideration.
But
I
guarantee he's already won most knowledgeable host.
He's going to win
best play-by-play. I've already won that before.
And he's going to win that one again.
And you'll win best play-by-play again.
I don't know. Dave Denholm could give him a run for his
money. Poor J.B. Long.
A lot of soccer fans. Oh, yeah. Rams had a good year.
Yeah, they did have a good year. Those are my bots. My bot army.
Listen, I'm pulling for this show to shake things up.
No, you're not. You're absolutely not.
You are all Shinano and Cap all the time. Oh, come on.
Yeah. You would rank us third in your show ratings.
No.
No, I'd rank us second.
Second.
But he ranks. See, you acknowledge.
She said show rankings, not awards.
But you just acknowledge that you like Shinano and Cap better than Mason and Ireland.
Like Sliwa winning.
That was great.
Shook it all up.
That was awesome. I love that Sliwa.
Now, there's no way he could go back-to-back.
Of course there is.
No.
Oh, man. That guy's even got his own personal post-game show for the Lakers. He's grinding, man.
He might, but...
he's grinding.
Unless he gets all those people to vote, I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out.
We will find out. All right, so Thursday night's the NFL draft, and this is the first year in a while that I'm excited about it because the Rams actually have a pick in the first round. So... the number one pick in the draft is going to be Caleb Williams.
Right.
And there's been all kinds of talk about Caleb Williams and is he too much this and is he too much that, all the stuff about him. Now, he paints his fingernails.
Yep.
And there is a bet on the board where you can bet what color his fingernails will be painted for the draft.
I'll take pink. What kind of odds do I get on pink?
6-1 odds on pink.
All right. Give me, Bergman, give me $5,000 on pink.
Okay, $5,000 on pink. All right. The choices are black, orange, white, pink, blue, and green. What's your pick, Bergman?
It might be orange for the Bears.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Orange.
Going orange?
Okay. What color, what is the odds on orange?
Orange is the second choice, 2-1.
2-1. All right, so I'll take that at 2-1. What was it for you, John? 5-1.
5K to win 30.
Okay, Laura, what color you got?
I'll go pink. I think he'll pink. Pink, yeah.
He recently had pink, I think, at his pro day.
Yeah, so Laura, you and I are both on pink. Yeah.
And Brian?
You said blue was on there, like navy blue?
Navy blue.
Yeah, for the Bears?
Yeah, let's go Bears blue.
Okay,
yeah,
that is 7-1, and I'm going black.
Okay.
Which is 3-2.
Okay.
This is so unfair. Will the number one overall pick cry?
Yes.
No.
No.
I don't think he will.
He's not going to cry.
No, I think he's cried for less.
Hey, I did.
Yeah. If anybody wants yes, it's 7-1 that he'll cry.
His offensive line.
I think he'll go.
Does
think
it
he'll
say
cry.
Anything if he'll go to his mom and
yep.
cry?
Who will he hug first? Mom, dad, girlfriend, agent?
Mom.
Mom.
And cry.
It is mom.
Together.
It is definitely mom. And by the way, there's so much. I think he is going to be an elite NFL quarterback. Do you agree, John?
I really like him.
Wow, you really hesitated there.
Yeah, I really like him. I'm worried that he has a defensive head coach who's on the hot seat. I'd feel better if he was going to Sean McVay or if he was going to Kyle Shanahan.
Right.
I'd feel really good about him. But he's going to Matt Eberflus, who is a defensive coach who almost got fired last year. I don't know if he's set up for success.
He's
going to
do what
C.J.
Stroud did last year. I think he's that good. He's going to do what C.J. Stroud did last year.
We'll see.
By the way,
Bears are good enough.
Here's an anonymous quarterbacks coach in the NFL talking about Caleb Williams. I like Caleb as a player, but the locker room part of it concerns me. I don't know him from a can of paint, but what I've heard and what I've seen from watching interviews, he's going to have to understand the difference in where he's at and how he's been treated to being a quarterback in the NFL locker room. That system is one, when they get to the NFL, they really have to learn football, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, you can win the Heisman, do all that. He says there's no layups, like all the quick screens and bubble passes and all that stuff that boots up. I believe he reminds me of Russell Wilson in terms of his relationship with the team. Now, that apparently
that's an insult.
That
right?
is
last
an insult.
Line was really
yeah.
hard.
Yeah, that's a rough take. Let's ride. Now, do you think he's the next Russell Wilson? By the way, that would not be the worst thing in the world. Russell Wilson had a really good
went
run
to
in
two
Seattle.
Super Bowls.
Two
in
Super
his
Bowls
first
in one
three
run.
Years, yeah,
with an amazing defense.
Yeah, nobody. It's a great defense, but you still get credit as a quarterback.
Sure. But that's not who you want to be compared to in terms
no,
of
it's
locker
not.
Room.
You think he's going to be C.J. Stroud. I think he'll be more – I think the Bears might win 8 games next year.
That's great.
Really?
How many did they win this year?
So that'd be –
they'd take that in a second.
8-9?
Oh, they'd take that in a second if they win 8 games. They won 3, I think, last year, right? That'd be a big improvement.
Yeah, so it'd be 5 more wins?
Yeah.
They've gone out and spent a lot of money on wideouts and stuff.
Yes, so. They have. They've tried to give him weapons. All right, tell you what.
Who would be the Russell Wilson of 7'10"? Locker room type. I think it's Mace, right?
No, I don't think so. I don't think.
I think it's Mace.
What is that?
I think it's Mace.
What are
this
the parameters?
Let's ride.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's ride.
Just not really connected, kind of thinks of themselves as separate, above. Wants a special lounge chair in the locker room.
None of these things are true.
But I could see that being you.
I roll in and I do everything everybody asks. And
except when we have to talk about plays and stuff, then you get very upset.
And also when you go on the elevator, you go alone.
Well, that's just my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a
so
Russell,
what happens
that's
if
a
you're
Russell
in
Wilson
the elevator
thing.
And like me and Bergman hop in it?
Catch the next one.
You'll physically get out.
Physically get out and catch an action. I'm done talking. I don't want to go down the elevator with anybody.
But wait a minute. What makes you think that we're going to talk to you?
Well, then you've got that awkward silence, which
not
is even worse.
Me.
Oh, it's super awkward to me. Awkward silence. You're supposed to say, hey, good show today. Oh, pretty good.
Oh, you're talking about when you're done.
Yeah,
I'm kind of in agreement about the no talking.
I like to decompress a little bit. But I'm not Russell Wilson. I'm like fully team guy.
10 seconds of decompressing.
10 seconds
exactly.
In the
it's a great ride. All right. Yeah, I'm not the Russell Wilson. I can tell you that. Who is the Russell Wilson? Yeah, but it's not me. And I don't believe it is.
You're the only one who I think would even be up for it.
Why?
Because you love you some you.
No, but I know everybody here. I work with. I absolutely do.
Do we have to do this again?
Yes, do it.
Every year we bring people.
Go do it.
No, don't do it.
Bergman, am I going to get it right this time?
I have to think about who's back there. And
you're going to pick the hard people, right?
Well, I'm not going to pick the people that. There's
one I don't know. There's one I've learned. I've given his gotten his name like 5 times, and I still don't know it.
Yeah, Tony, I don't even want to do it again. It's so uncomfortable.
Oh, it's not uncomfortable.
He fails every year.
Let's do the reverse. Let's bring people in for John to identify.
You'll know everybody back there.
No, John knows. I don't know. I've been gone for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, but they've been here.
But I mean, they've all been here.
Next person that walks by, I'll see if I know him. Okay.
Let's see. Can we see him there?
Ron Mitchell.
Who's that right there?
Well, I mean, don't give me the names.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Who's that in the kitchen right there?
In the black jacket.
Oh. Black jacket, blue hat.
I don't. Yeah, I don't know.
Can't see.
I think you would do comparable to me, but not.
But I don't think of myself as above anybody here. Brian, do I think of anybody as above?
No, you don't.
No, thank you.
Who's that just walked in the studio? No, just kidding.
Chuck.
No, we know him.
Chuck the Python.
Chuck the Python. All right. Are we going to do the experiment or no?
No.
Okay, not
it's
doing the experiment.
Uncomfortable for you or for them?
No, but when Mason doesn't know their names, and then
Bergman,
I just cringe.
Will I know their names or not?
I don't think you'll know all of their names, no.
I will absolutely, except for that one guy, know every single name. There's one guy there. I'll just say that's the guy. That's the guy I don't know. I don't know one. There's only one person there that I don't know.
We don't have like a Facebook page here where we have pictures of everybody, right?
Well, there's the company directory on the GKB
site.
Oh,
yeah, I've seen the company directory. It's got everybody's picture on it.
I think if you did that, if you pulled out 5 pictures for Mason off the company directory, would get 2.
Forget it.
2 of the 5.
I will take that challenge.
Kaplan has texted. I sent the picture of the rib to the afternoon show.
Yeah, what's he saying?
He responded, this must stop.
Oh, really?
He gets very upset.
Yeah, I'm eating a rib with his boyfriend.
He was upset with Travis when he did it at Islands.
Yeah.
He was upset when Sliwa put his thumb in my mouth.
Oh, God. How do you fall for that one?
It was something about hiccups, I think.
Oh, that's absolutely
himself,
disgusting.
Are you at Ted's of Beverly Hills?
He walked up to Morales and put his thumb in his mouth.
Not his thing, his
thumb. His thumb.
Thing. Not his thing. What did I miss?
His thumb.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Ay, Dios mío.
Was that wrong?
Yeah. All right.
John's done. Like, I'm out of here.
Coming up next for you, I have a quest.
Yeah.
A quest, and I would like some help with it. We'll do that coming up. In the meantime, if you're injured in an auto accident of any kind, probably wondering, what are some of the advantages of hiring my friend Jacob? Well, first of all, you're hiring somebody who's been doing this for 25 years. Maybe simplest answer, Jacob and his team are going to hold your hand throughout the entire process. He's going to handle everything for you, from the phone calls to the rental car to getting your car fixed to finding a doctor in your area, all that stuff. They will deal with the insurance companies on your behalf. Jacob can immediately get you the medical attention that you deserve. And with 25 plus years of experience, he's got the reputation and the clout to get you the compensation that you deserve. If you're injured in any kind of accident, only one name to remember. It is Jacob. 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 A lot of attorneys say they'll fight for you. Call Jacob. He'll win for you. 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. 844-24-JACOB. Or remember,
accident or injury, call Jacob and Ronnie. Call Jacob.
That's calljacob.com. And make sure you're following Call Jacob on Instagram and Facebook at call.jacob. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaker
making splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
3:36 on a live imaging Tuesday on Mason in Ireland. When I was in the other room,
yes,
talking to BC, Brian Cohen, about what we should come back with.
Yeah.
Producer Sora said, play something for the Highness.
Yeah.
I said, well, what if we could play something for the Highness and for the Yacht Rock category?
Whoa, we hit both.
Is this Al Wilson?
This is Al Wilson?
Show and tell. Just a thing I do when I want to say, BC, I love you.
One hit wonder or no?
I think so. Yeah.
This was Lou Rawls.
Yeah, no, this song is very sort of 70s lovemaking.
But they play
music.
This on the Yacht Rock channel.
Do they?
Yeah. You want to hear a little bit more? Let's hear a little bit more. You want to put a touch a hand, make a friend?
No, I don't want to. I already ate a rib. Yeah, no, I'm
We shared pass. A rib earlier.
Strong pass, hard pass.
I thought it was a moment where I heard this song play through my head.
I bet you did.
Mace, let me show and tell. Talk about that. Come
on. Yeah, exactly.
Just a game I play.
Yeah.
When it I want to say, here it is, Mace.
It is a great game that you're playing.
I love you.
Thank you. It's very meaningful. So,
that got very real for me just then.
Let me ask you guys a question. How early is too early for me to go to bed tonight? I got in. Here's my schedule. I got in at 3:15. I walked in.
Yep.
3:15 a.m. Yeah. Then I watched Jon Stewart because I like watching him when he does The Daily Show on Monday. Okay. And I went to bed at 3:45.
Right.
Got up at 9.
Mm-hmm.
But now I feel like if I went to sleep now, I'd wake up tomorrow. But you can't
do it.
You can't do that.
No. Sure you can. You could go to sleep early and sleep all night.
No, I never have.
Just gummy up.
I do.
Yeah, just drop a gummy bomb.
By the way, you would have been you would have been worried about how much I was gummying up on the road.
Oh, is that right?
I was sick.
Yeah, right,
so
right.
I got to sleep, and so I just loaded up.
Do you ever
up.
Mix gummy with NyQuil?
Not
NyQuil. Oh, that's a nice touch.
I've done it.
Yeah.
I did it last week. I thought
how
I was
much
gonna...
sleep did you get?
Here's the thing. It almost went in the reverse. So then I couldn't get to sleep. For like 3 hours, I just laid there.
You know, there was a point at which every night I drank a bottle of NyQuil.
Not
to go
a
to
bottle.
Sleep.
I not
swear.
A
I know the size you're talking about.
An entire bottle of NyQuil.
Yeah,
I was so
way,
strung out.
I'm with Chris on this. When I did that, I remember when you were doing that.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I'm going to try that. And Chris, when I did it, I slept less.
Really?
Drinking a whole bottle?
Yeah. I drank a ton and I woke up like 2 hours later. Yeah,
that thing just knocks me out. That
NyQuil.
Knocks me out.
Yeah, it's good for you.
Oh, it's good. It's good. It's funny you were talking about that. One just sent me. When I was a kid, bedtime was 9 p.m. I couldn't wait to be a grown-up so I could go to bed anytime I wanted. Turns out that's 9 p.m.
I don't think I could do 9. I got to make it till at least 10:30.
I like
tonight.
To be in,
yeah.
Really? I like to be
and
in bed watching something. I'll be in
What's
bed
tomorrow?
Watching
Wednesday?
Something.
Wednesday? I got to take Lisa Wednesday. To the airport tomorrow, so I got to be up at like 7. If I could go 10 to 7, that'd be unbelievable.
Two shows you should be checking out.
All right.
One is Sugar on Apple starring
That's
Colin Farrell.
That's Colin Farrell. That's the one that looks like Chinatown,
exactly.
Right?
Okay. And the other one is The Jinx. Did you watch the first Jinx?
No, it seems... what could possibly... I know about the first Jinx.
Right.
So what could possibly be... it's already revealed.
But he's now going...
He confessed when he didn't think he was confessing.
But he's
right?
going around telling people, and then the trial... All this stuff is in there. You watched the first one?
I tried to, and I thought, well, I know he's going to throw himself under the bus sooner or later, and then I thought it was a one-trick pony, The Jinx.
Ed, The Jinx is great. You should check it out. You
but
should
I
want to
watch
out.
Sugar. I'll check out Sugar.
Yeah,
for
Sugar's
sure.
awesome. All right, there's one. Oh, you know what I want to do coming up? I want to be in the 30.
Oh, wow, we got to get to Game of Games.
I want to be in the 32-52.
Oh, yeah.
I want to do a game in the 32-52.
Right.
And there are two groups there. One is the weed group, and the other one is the pride group.
Well, I know which one you need to be in.
Yeah, the one seems to have a lot of fun. I'll go to the weed group. But I want to be in the 32-52. Bergman, can you help me do that?
I can talk to some people and try to make it
talk
all work
some
out.
People. I want to make that
you
happen.
You got to stand.
I know.
You got to get those calf muscles
I know, and you
engaged.
You got to chant.
Yeah.
And maybe you have to learn the chants.
You might have to paint your face, too.
If that's what it takes, I'll do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just say it.
Not typically your jam at games.
Face paint?
No.
No, doing anything that's not sitting.
Correct. No, so. I'm going to do
and
the 32-52.
And you can't leave early. That's okay. going to be your problem.
I'm going to sing the songs and chant for a half and then leave. I'm kind of targeting Saturday, May the 4th
as
the day.
Okay.
So if you're in the 3252, need your help, you can DM me or whatever. All right, coming up next for you, it's Game of Games. Jacob Imrani's here to play Game of Games.
Beautiful.
Whose game is it?
Yours.
Why are you looking at me? I don't know.
My game. All right, I'll come up with something. We'll do that coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
And Live Imaging Tuesday made possible by our friends at Kia of Downtown LA. This big spring deals continue. Lease the dynamic 2024 Kia Forte GT for only... GT, are you with me? For only $265 per month. The big spring deals only at Kia of Downtown LA next to the 10 freeway at Figueroa in Washington in the heart of downtown Los Angeles. Here's what you do. You go in and you see Gary, the general manager. He's probably going to be polishing his Rolex when he walks in. He's going to look at you like, what are you doing in here? And you say, hey, sucker, I want a brand new Kia. And our friends at 710 ESPN sent me. Go tell Gary you want a new Kia, sucker. Right here. More fun and frivolity with Mason Ireland next on 710.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right, here we go. It is Game of Games time, and the great Jacob Imrani is here. Jacob, how you doing?
I guess that is pretty devastating.
I felt like I was run over by a truck.
Yeah, I think LA feels that today. Yeah. Feels that today.
Yeah, it's all right. One game. We just got to win Thursday.
It's only one game, and you know how I feel. It is Game of Games. Today's game, simple fact or fiction.
Fact or fiction.
Ireland, why don't you keep score on this? And we will start here. The Isahura Center in Tokyo is the largest pickleball center in the world with 116 indoor courts. Is that fact or is that fiction? Jacob.
Fact.
John.
Fiction.
Bergman.
Fiction.
Lara.
Fiction.
Brian.
Fact.
The correct answer is fiction. It's actually a bowling center.
Oh, okay. So yeah, 116 bowling lanes. I never heard about pickleball being big over there. So, All right. So Greg, Laura, and John on the board.
All right. Number two. You can tell the difference between a dinosaur fossil and a stone by licking it. You can tell the difference between a dinosaur fossil and a stone by licking it. Is that fact or is that fiction, John?
It's too weird for you to have made up. I'm going fact.
Going fact. Yeah. Bergman.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, John. Fact.
Lara.
I'm going to go fiction.
Brian.
Fact.
Jacob.
Let's just follow John, I guess. Fact.
it is a fact, believe it or not.
What is it, sedimentary rocks?
If you lick a suspected fossil, it will stick ever so slightly to your tongue because fossils are more porous than stones.
All right, Greg and John have two. Everybody else has one.
All right. When asked why he didn't win gold in his 2010 Olympic cross-country event, Norwegian skier Odd Bjørn Hegmeset said, I think I have seen too much porn in the last 14 days. Is that fact or is that fiction? Bergman.
I'm trying to play the player, not the game so much, but I think that is fact.
Fact. Lar.
I am going to go fiction.
Brian.
Fact.
Jacob.
Fact.
Ireland.
Fact.
100% a fact, yes. He watched too much porn in the last 14 days.
Everybody but Laura got that?
Yeah.
Okay, so Greg and I have the lead with three each. Brian and Jacob have two. Laura's got one.
Okay, I had a question about the... Jacob, you should know this. There have been 309 episodes of the Culture Pop podcast presented by Jacob Imrani. Is that fact or is that fiction? 309 episodes.
I am going to say fact.
John.
I think you would have told me once you hit 300. I'm going fiction.
Greg.
I feel like you hit your 100th not too long ago. But I think this was supposed to be a layup. I'm going to say fact.
Lar.
Fiction.
Brian.
Fiction.
I got everybody, right?
Yep.
Fact. 309 episodes.
It was a layup. Wow. Yeah. Got it. There you go.
All right, Greg's
Thanks,
got the
Jacob.
Lead.
All right.
Brian, you got that, right?
Out?
Or no, you missed it.
I missed that one, yeah.
All right, Laura, you got that, right?
No. Nope.
Okay, so here's the score. Greg, 4. John and Jacob, 3. Brian, 2. Laura, 1.
Okay.
How many left?
One, two, three, four left.
Okay.
Five left. So we've got plenty of time. All right. Number seven. The United States has the third highest annual average income in the world. The highest annual average salary is in Iceland. Is that fact or is that fiction? Laura.
Fiction.
Brian.
Fact.
Jacob.
Fiction.
Ireland.
Fiction.
And Bergman.
Fiction.
Correct answer is fact. It goes Iceland, Luxembourg, USA, Switzerland, Belgium, highest average annual income.
All right, who got that?
Brian.
Only Brian.
So Brian's got three. All right, everybody's chasing Greg. Greg's got four. Jacob, Brian, John all have three.
Okay, number seven. The American television show with the most episodes in history is The Young and the Restless. Is that fact or is that fiction? Brian.
Fiction.
Jacob.
I will say fiction.
Ireland.
Fact.
Bergman.
I think I'm with Ireland. Fact.
Laura.
I thought it was fiction.
It is fiction. Guiding Light has had the most episodes of television. General Hospital, number
nice
two.
Right.
Days of Our Lives, three. World As the World Turns, number four. And Young and Restless, five.
Who got that besides Laura?
Jacob.
Jacob got it. And that's
Brian.
It. And Brian. Okay, so here's the score. Brian, 4. Greg, 4. Jacob, 4. John, 3. Laura, 2.
Ooh, it's a race. All right. Here we go. The duck-billed platypus is one of only a handful of mammals that lay eggs. Is that fact or is that fiction? We're back to Jacob.
Fiction.
Ireland. Duck-billed platypus, one of the few mammals that lay eggs.
I'm going fiction.
Bergman.
I'm going to go fact.
Laura.
I am going to go fiction.
And Brian.
I'm going to go fact.
It is fact.
It is a fact.
Yes.
Okay. The duck-billed platypus lays eggs.
All right. So how many are left, Mace?
Two left. Three right. left. No, there's still three left.
Okay. So everybody's in.
Yeah.
Here we go. Jacob, you didn't get that, right?
I did not.
Okay. So Brian and Greg are tied with five.
Okay. In 1994, Bulgaria had the only national soccer team in history where every player's name ended in O-V. In OV, every single player on the team.
In Bulgaria?
Bulgaria, yeah. Is that fact or is that fiction? Ireland.
No, you got to go to Brian.
Oh, Brian.
Fiction.
Greg.
Fiction. It's fiction.
I can only go fact. Laura, you can only go fact. Yeah. Jacob, can pick.
This is the last one?
No, it's not the last one. Okay. I'm going to go fact as well.
Correct answer. Fact.
Oh!
Oh, did I not get Laura?
No,
Brian
excited.
And Greg missed that. Yeah. All the rest of us got it.
I got excited.
So Jacob is now tied. There's one left, right?
No, I've got two left.
Okay. So Jacob has tied Greg and Brian. I'm one back. Laura's two back. So everybody's in it.
All right.
So either Jacob, Greg, or Brian has to go first.
Number eight. American Larry Lewis ran the 400 meters in 1:29 at the age of 101. Minute 29 seconds at the age of 101. Is that fact or is that fiction?
I haven't gone first yet.
Okay, go ahead, Greg.
Bergman.
It's fiction.
Brian.
Fiction.
Jacob.
I will go fiction.
I'll go fact. Laura, you want to go fact?
Sure, why not?
You have to.
Correct answer. Fiction.
Okay, so Laura and I are out. One left, right?
Yep, one
right?
left.
It's a three-way tie between Jacob, Brian, and Greg.
Guess what?
Look, Jacob's right there in it.
Come on, Jacob.
By the way, Jacob, if you win, you're alive. This is worth two tomorrow, and the last game that here next week is worth two
also.
So you can still win
the month.
Thank you for pressure.
Yeah.
Okay. Jacob normally finishes second in these things. He's right where he needs to be again. Let's see.
All right. Number nine, red. Attracts mosquitoes at four times the rate of any other color. Is that fact or is that fiction? Ireland, where we start?
Jacob.
Red, fact.
Red is fact.
Brian.
Okay. I'm going to go fact, too.
Greg.
I'm going to keep it at fact here.
Okay, so we won't get a winner.
Wait. Is this the last?
Last one.
Last one. I'll go fiction just to see if we can get one person out.
Okay.
And you're smart that you did.
I actually knew that.
Oh, sorry, Jacob. I was trying to get it down to the two
Jacob
of you.
Jacob finished second again.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Jacob.
The greatest finisher of
Jacob,
second
you,
place.
Yeah. I'm just going to start calling you Mr. Silver Medal.
No, you know what you are? You're the opposite of the Denver Nuggets. You don't know how to finish a game.
Thank you.
All right, well, let's do the tiebreaker, just fun. I think it's interesting. How many episodes of The Guiding Light aired on television? More episodes than any show in American history. How many episodes of The Guiding Light aired?
Okay, everybody write down a number.
I don't have a pen, so I'll just say...
Okay, Greg, what's your number?
I'm going to say 10,002.
Okay.
10,002. Brian?
850.
Laura?
950.
I'm going to go 2,522.
Okay.
Jacob?
I'm going to go 2,523.
Jerk.
It was 15,762.
Oh, God. Greg and a one.
Yeah. There's a lot of episodes of that show. Yeah.
Never seen a single one.
It's on five days a week and all the time for exactly. 40 years.
Who's watching like some 86-year-old woman in Topeka? All right. God, I love Topeka, by the way. I don't want to throw Topeka under the bus.
All right, Jacob, everybody in this radio station, with the exception of me, says the Lakers are done, that it's over. I say we just need to win one game on Thursday. Who are you with?
I am with you, and I hope all of LA is with us.
Well, they're not, based on my social media.
But there are there are two different things. There's, are you rooting, and do you want it to happen?
Well, we're all rooting for them.
And then in your realistic head, do you think, oh, yeah, I see... they're going to win the series.
But I think Thursday night's
series.
Rocking.
I'm just talking about Thursday.
Oh, just Thursday.
Night. I mean, Thursday night, crypto is going to be rocking.
Yeah, I mean, they can win a game.
And, you know, based on the
but
fact that...
it better
that,
be Thursday.
It better be Thursday, yeah.
And based on the fact that they literally should have won last night, you're hoping they're going to come out, use the crowd. Listen, the confidence that the Lakers have now should be tremendously more than what they had before this series started, okay?
They've had double-digit leads in both games. They just couldn't hold them.
You just got to finish. And I think I would love to just not watch the game and just go to the last 3 minutes and have them start for 3 minutes and see what they can do.
The last 3 minutes are the worst for us.
I know, right. But they got
to
change
it. Can we change it to a 45-minute game?
Yeah, let's
game?
Change That's it right. to a 45-minute yeah. game. There you're talking.
That would help.
So you think they – what was your original pick for the series?
I thought the Lakers can get this in six.
Lakers in six. Well, That's Lakers in six is still alive.
That's what
That's
I thought.
Eight, Mace? Just go back to 2004.
Yeah.
Lakers get blown out twice in San Antonio, come back, barely win game three, barely win game four. Derek Fisher, 0.4 in game five. Close them out in six. Boom.
So there is a chance.
We just hope Derek can stop, you know, coaching high school ball and come and help us out.
Why not?
Yeah. His defense could have really helped.
Jacob, it's great to see you. Don't forget, Game of Games is brought to you by Jacob and Ronnie. If you're involved in an accident, nobody you should want more than Jacob. 25-plus years of experience. Call 844-24-JACOB or visit calljacob.com. Great seeing you, man.
Great to see you guys.
Let's do some super crosstalk. There he is.
There's Cappy. You in South-South today, Cappy?
I am in South-South. You know, I'm observing the Passover holiday right
now.
Oh,
that's right. Course. Good Pesach to you.
Hey, now, good Pesach
now
to you.
Cappy, for those non-Jews such as myself, explain what does Passover entail?
You know, Johnny, I had to do this last night with Rachel.
Did you throw a Seder?
I did.
Rachel's not Jewish?
She's not.
Okay.
See, so I was throwing a Seder last night, so I was kind of giving her the same rundown.
Yep.
She does. I think she might like to be Jewish because last night at the Seder, you know, you're supposed to have four glasses of wine.
Right.
So that's like right up her alley.
And don't you there leave you one for Elijah?
You do.
Yeah.
You're supposed to.
So.
Right.
Okay. I know. I've been to my
Impressive.
Fair share of Seders. Yeah.
Right. You sure have. So the story goes like this, Johnny. You know, Moses was originally Egyptian.
Oh, we heard this yesterday on the show.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. But I'm having to just give it another brief synopsis.
Yeah, give me the abridged version.
So Moses was Egyptian, right? But then Moses finds out that he's actually a Hebrewite. So Moses decides, hey, Pharaoh, these are my people. You got to let my people go. And the Pharaoh says, no, we're not doing that. You're our slaves. Get out there and build a pyramid.
Pyramid, yeah.
Jack. And so Moses tells him,
Build
nah, man.
Build that pyramid, Jack.
Yeah, let my people go.
Yeah. Pharaoh said no dice on this, basically.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. And so then Moses said, well, listen, you don't understand. God is about to rain down some serious consequences on you.
Yeah.
And Pharaoh didn't believe him. And then ultimately, what happened is he, you know, he turned water into blood, and he, the rivers, right? And he created, like, there were frogs, like, everywhere.
Oh, that was in the movie, The Ten Commandments.
Yeah. Correct.
Right?
And then,
yeah.
So it shall be written, so it shall be done, Yul Brynner.
Yeah.
Right. And so then
good.
Ultimately, they took the first son, the firstborn of every Egyptian household, until the Pharaoh was like, all right, go ahead, you guys leave. And so then,
go ahead.
And then Moses was like, all right, everybody follow me. And as they were flying through the desert, or at least trying to, you know, they couldn't bake bread, so the bread never rose. So that's why we eat matzah right now. It's unleavened bread. And then when Pharaoh was like, wait a second, this sucks. We don't have anybody to build our pyramids. Go get them. Bring them back. Mm-hmm. That's when Moses parted the Red Sea. And when the Hebrewites walked through the Red Sea, that's when the Red Sea closed and it drowned all the Egyptians.
Oh,
so that's
kind
of the story of Passover.
That's
a
great story.
In a nutshell.
Yeah, in a nutshell. I feel part Jewish after hearing that.
So, don't you?
I was holed up a little bit in my hotel room in Denver because I wasn't feeling great on this trip. And I watched like every game.
Yeah.
George Sedano, you did, for my money, one of the best sideline report. They should use this sideline report to teach seminars to other sideline reporters.
Okay.
This was so good. You were working a Minnesota game, Minnesota
Phoenix.
Suns.
Yeah.
And the number one thing, I was a sideline reporter for 10 years. What they tell you is the minute they throw it to you, it's like, get out.
Yeah.
You got to get in and you got to get out. But you've got, so you did all this in less than a minute. You explained the game was kind of getting away from Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And you said, hey, guys, pay attention to the fourth quarter.
We're at the end of the third. Pay attention to the fourth. Right.
Because what we have here are two teams. One team is really good in the fourth.
Minnesota's
plus something.
They were number two in the league, right, in the fourth quarter.
And Phoenix is the absolute worst.
Right.
They're in the bottom. So if Phoenix keeps falling behind here, this is not good for them. They do not play well in the fourth quarter. And, oh, by the way, Naz Reid turned an ankle.
Right.
He's questionable to return.
Right.
Out.
Yeah.
Textbook.
It was... You probably don't even remember doing it. But
I do. I remember the hit because of the end of the third quarter stuff.
Yeah, it was great.
Thank you.
I mean, so people, if you want to know how to do that job, watch Sedano.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was really, really good.
Yeah. See, Cappy, he likes my sideline reports, unlike you.
I like your sideline reports. I like your sideline reports.
Well, it's hard, and George will back me up on this. What's hard about being a sideline reporter is you never know when they're coming to
never,
you.
Oh, never, ever.
And
never.
Sometimes they'll come to you three times in a quarter. If I had you, I'd come to you 3-4 times a quarter.
Right.
A lot of times they'll throw it to you, and so you can tell when sideline reporters don't have anything to say.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You not only have things to say, but you get in, you get out, and it's gone.
He also gets weird things in for Cappy. Right?
I do. I occasionally will get a weird thing.
Like,
in
what
for
was
Cappy.
The last weird thing you got?
Well, that was when I did play by play. We did, you know how Cappy.
It's easier to do if you're doing play by play.
Yeah, he wanted me to do Terminal H, which is a big bit on our show.
Sure.
So I said a guy hit a shot from all the way from Terminal H.
That's good.
You know what I mean?
That.
And then he wanted me to hit another one. He wanted South. Instead of South LA, because it was the Heat and the Mavericks, he wanted me to use South Miami.
Right.
So it's like he hit a shot from South
Miami.
Miami.
I like that. So I got that one. And then there were a couple of other show related ones.
But wait a second. But
it.
Recently, George was doing the play by play of a UFL football game.
Yes. I did, and I weaved Cappy into the conversation.
Oh, I've heard this.
Unbeknownst to him.
You said his name, right?
John, you'll love this. So I'm doing this UFL game in Texas. And it's me and Kirk Morrison.
Right.
And
I caught like a very small part of this.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So Kirk was dying of laughter when I did this. So an offensive lineman false starts, which really screwed up one of the teams. Like they were in like a third and short and it became like third and long because of this. And I looked at the guy on my board and it said that he went to Pitt. And I said, yeah, my guy Scott Kaplan is not going to be happy about him. You know, he's a Pitt alum just like this kid from, you know, so and so.
You found a way to drop
and I just
Cap
weaved
in.
Him. I weaved him in. Yes.
Right.
And then Kirk just looks at me and just starts cracking
love
up.
It.
Cappy,
love
have
it,
you
man.
Ever had any play-by-play aspirations?
Not really.
I know you did sidelines for Westwood
Many
One
years.
For a long
NCBS
year.
NCBS TV?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. NCBS, yeah.
Yeah.
One of the ones that Sedano did once was he got in the COT and so listen to this.
I did get the circle. Oh, that was it. I did get the circle of trust into a game. I was another play by play game.
We
I
have
said,
it.
Oh, you have it? Okay,
yeah,
then
just play it.
Adebayo, the Miami Heat captain. He has taken that mantle from Udonis Haslem. Dwayne Wade had that for a time as well.
Mm-hmm.
Alonzo Mourning. It's what I like to call the Miami Heat circle of trust.
There you go.
Right? To where the captains see in Miami. There's not a lot of guys that pull that off.
So, you know, we try to do it. We try to weave in some stuff occasionally just for the audience to be engaged. I mean, they would normally not be engaged in one of these games.
Right. Out of town NBA games.
Right.
Sure.
So one of the guys I play golf with is a guy named Eric Johnson. He used to play tight end for the 49ers.
Yeah.
He's married to Jessica Simpson.
84, right? Number 84?
Yeah, really, really, really good dude. Yeah. So randomly, he sends me this text the other day. Just go ahead and read the text. Did we lose it? Okay. I laughed because so you'll laugh when you get it.
He says.
He sends me the graphic at the top.
Right.
And then he writes what?
It says, this should be the Lakers intro song. Oh, wait, sorry. He writes,
he sent me that song.
Eminence Front, right, which is the song we play.
Right.
And it should be the Lakers intro song. Right.
Why is
and then
say
you
that,
said,
Johnny
it's
I?
Great. The radio show that's on after mine, Sedona and Cap, uses it as their theme. Oh, maybe subconsciously.
There you go. So you guys are starting. He wants to use it as the Lakers walk-in song. If that happens,
right,
do you guys get a cut?
I mean, we should, I think, at this point. Yeah. But Cappy actually stole it from the San Diego Chargers back
then. That is absolutely true. Yeah. Way back in the day, and
at
Johnny
Qualcomm.
And Mace, you guys will appreciate this, but way back in the day at Qualcomm, before kickoff of NFL games, and I did plenty of them on, like George said, CBS, Westwood One, I did plenty of those games, they would play Eminence Front. And I always loved the song, but it always got the crowd crazy hyped.
Yeah.
And so for some reason, I don't even remember, George, do you, like how we brought it into the show?
You said we needed a theme song, and I said, I agree. And then you said, I've got this song. I think it'll work. And then we just played it one day, and we kept it going.
So the reason I got hooked on Lose Yourself as the first song on my workout playlist is that was the song that when Pete Carroll would walk onto the field when he was the coach at USC, they would start playing, that drum beat would start in the beginning of Lose Yourself, and you would start seeing these guys coming down the tunnel.
Yeah.
And then when Eminem starts talking, that's when USC would run on the field. And that's when they were, they went 3 years, they lost one game.
Yeah.
And they were really
good. They
really
were like a pro team.
Yeah.
The golden years, man.
I remember the linebackers 1 year were Clay Matthews, Ray Malauga, and Brian Cushing all on the same team.
Yeah. Right.
And they all were all rookie in the NFL. They were all like really good.
God, that was a good time.
That was a great period of time. Yeah. Oh, man.
I mean, we thought we had it for a second here with Lincoln's first year.
Right.
But it was kind of like,
kind of fade.
Well, it just faded. It was like, kind of fluky.
He's gotten like tons of people through the transfer portal.
Well, you have
defensive
to.
Players through the
you
transfer
have to.
Portal,
I mean, because the defense was terrible.
And Danton Lynn is the new defense.
You stole him from Ireland and Bergman's team.
Defense won the spring game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, defense should always be ahead of the offense early in the year, right?
Well, by the way, you have Lincoln Riley as your coach, and then you're supposed to have this magical offense.
Yeah. You said stole him, George, but maybe he knew that
Chip
Kelly was going to go and become the offensive coordinator at Ohio State.
A coward? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They just named the NBA's most improved player of the year. George, who do you think got it?
Maxey?
Yep.
Yeah.
Tyrese Maxey of the Sixers. He deserves it.
Great player.
Yeah, he's been great.
I felt terrible for him last night.
Well, the end of both those games. If you don't have a dog in the fight, obviously I did.
Right.
It
was insane. What a great night of basketball.
Maybe the greatest night in the last 20 years in the NBA.
It was great.
Two games you could not turn off.
We had a stat on ESPN. I can look it up as you guys talk on ESPN Stats and Info about the last time we had back-to-back buzzer beaters like that in the playoffs. But hold on,
it was. I mean, Cappy, do you think the Lakers lost that game or did the Nuggets win it?
When you're up 20 points, and even when you are up 10 points going into the fourth quarter, and when LeBron put them up by 9, I got to say that the Lakers lost that game. By the way, it doesn't mean to take away from Denver winning it, because Denver did come take it, but the Lakers just fell apart.
Yeah,
how do you feel? Do you think that they?
I don't want to take anything away from Denver, George. I think they're the best fourth quarter team I've ever seen. They remind me of those Warriors teams that Steph, KD, and Clay that would fall behind by 20, and you never thought they were going
to
lose.
So I would say I would equate them to these like great teams, right? That assembled with great talent, Shaq and Kobe, right? Those teams never
felt Murray and Jokic are just two of the best clutch players in league history. They're both great.
Shaq and Kobe, you never felt like you were out of it. I mean, that Portland game is a perfect example, right? The Warriors, LeBron with the Heatles, like those guys always came back from big deficits, and the Nuggets are in that same class. I mean, the Spurs, to be honest, in the years they've won, have had that kind of element to them as well.
Never out.
So here's the answer to the question. It was only the third day in the last 25 postseasons where you had back-to-back multiple winning field goals in the last 15 seconds of the game. Jamal Murray, Dante DiVincenzo yesterday. Previous to that, LeBron in 2018 and Al Horford did it on the same day. And then before that, 2006, LeBron and Kevin Martin.
Wow.
Yeah, so LeBron part of three of them, technically, although yeah, one twice on the front end, yes.
Yeah. Well, I said that last night, Mason. We're so used to being on the right side of those. Sure. You know, yeah. Whether it be Derek Fisher's 0.4 shot, Anthony Davis against Denver in the bubble,
yeah.
Kobe too many times to count. And now I know how all those teams feel.
I think you were kind of alluding to it here. It's kind of their time right now. Right. Like, if as long as they're healthy, they're the best team.
They're the team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Boston is deeper. But I just think Boston's variance will be a problem because they shoot so many threes that there's going to be games where they shoot themselves out of it.
Right. And Boston is – they're going to need a really big series out of Porzingis if it's Celtics Nuggets in the finals.
Crushed by Jokic.
Jokic is just so good.
He's going to crush him.
So good.
AD did as good a job as you could do on Jokic. And still,
when's the last time you saw somebody start a game 14 for 15?
I mean, I don't remember, to be honest. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Mace, you going to the game on Thursday night?
Oh, boy.
It's a good question.
Oh, wow. Wait,
an event of this magnitude?
You're not going to be there and leave before the fourth quarter?
I have you on the list to get a credential.
I'm going.
Okay.
I'm
going. It's automatic.
I need to know that now.
Yeah, no, I'm going.
Okay. Listen, if you don't go, I'm calling Paul Benedict again like I did that last
year. Yeah, no, I'm going. Yeah.
Mace, I'll even throw you one better. You ready for this?
Yeah, ready.
True. Because George and I on Thursday
will
be at Hennessy's in Hermosa.
Oh, such an easy trip for me.
And yeah. Boy, that's a $16 million house.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
We're gonna do a combo plate
you
that day.
You guys are going to be at Hennessy's, which is a great spot.
Yeah. Oh, 3 to 5:30, okay. So
and then he's going to head over here.
I'm leaving Hermosa, and I'm going to come up and go to the game. Now, I will not have checked in to my home away from home, the East Central, across the street. Mace, I'll give you my hotel room.
Wow.
Not having been used.
Right.
Not having slept in the bed naked. Okay? Right? Not having a do not disturb sign on the door so nobody comes in. You can check in as me, use my hotel room.
Right. If they ask for ID? You know what you do? You call ahead and you say Steve Mason is gonna check
but
in.
But wait a minute. So you're going to use this room after I use it?
Yeah, but you will have already left. Yeah,
right, but I'm going to flop in the bed.
He doesn't care about this stuff. You do.
Yeah, I'll sleep on the other side. It don't matter to me.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take it, man.
Okay, so then here's what we do. Then Thursday, I get back up. Let's put it this way. Mm-hmm. The show's going to end at 5:30.
Right.
Game's going to start at 7.
Yep.
Based on coming from Hermosa to downtown LA.
Do you think
LA,
he makes it on time,
I should be there by like the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
No, you're
right in the middle
close.
Of the jam, yeah.
You're going to be close. Do you have Fast Track, Cappy?
I do.
Oh, then you're good.
You're okay.
Because you got to jump on the 105, 105 to 110, you're good.
Yep. Yeah, you'll make it. I think you'll be there for the opening.
But
kick.
You're going to have to drive from Hermosa, PCH to El Segundo.
Yeah, I don't mind doing that. As George will attest.
Don't go the 405.
Where we live, the hardest thing is getting to the freeway. Once you get to the freeway, you're fine. But we live in places that are not near a freeway.
Yeah, it's like 10 minutes away.
Yeah. You know what I'm trying to
do?
I'm there.
Are you
going to
go?
I'm totally there. Yeah, I'm in.
Don't fake.
I'm not going to fake.
All right?
No, I'm not faking. I'm going to be there.
So, Nader, do you have more games left?
I do. I'm off this week because I had a back-to-back this past week. So, I'm off this week and I'm back on next week.
Right.
Yeah,
back-to-backs are hard, aren't they?
Man, I was gassed.
For everybody,
back-to-backs are hard. But he flies commercials, so it's harder for him than it is for me.
I did the game, the Chicago-Miami play-in game, and then took a 6 a.m. flight on 3 hours of sleep to Minneapolis. Damn. Did not sleep in the bed in Minneapolis. Literally just went there. I worked out. Right. I went and got a good workout to just get the endorphins going.
Sure.
Drank a big cup of coffee and went to the arena.
Ugh. And then gave you a great report going into the
game. I did. Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
And
I got to work with Hubie Brown at 90 years old. And
unbelievable.
I mean, listen, awesome. He was so good. Like, he was
turns
on
91
it.
In September.
Wow. That's crazy. And still.
And I'll tell you one thing about Hubie Brown, George. I hope it's still this way for you. Every time I watch that guy do game, you learn something you didn't know before.
So, perfect example. Yeah. We were watching. There was a point in the game where Grayson Allen is trying to post up, get Kevin Durant a post up, right?
Yeah.
And he dumps it into Durant, and then Durant like is like you could tell he's like telling him to do something, and he just finally throws it back to Grayson in like disgust, and then Grayson turns it over the next time he tries to bring it in, and Hubie goes, he's like, oh, Allen, you gotta move when you dump it into Durant, you gotta move, you can't stay in the same spot in the 3-point line, right. You can stay in the 3-point line, but you gotta move up or down the line to give Durant a better chance to get it back to you to repost him. And it was like, and when he said it, I'm like, I've never thought of that, but it makes total sense.
Wow.
Now, if you're the Suns, you want to post up on the other side and then move down. Now, if you're the Wolves, you know they're going to do that, so you turn around and don't let them do it.
Let me tell you, he is the best storyteller. Before the games, when we have like those 90 minutes before we even see the coaches when we get to the arena, just the incredible stories that he can tell are just out of this control. I cherish every moment.
Yeah,
and he is a rock star. Like, we were at the hotel. People wanted to take pictures with him.
Oh, sure.
Like, one guy said he went to one of his camps when he was a kid growing up and told them like the whole story.
Is
it was
there
great.
Anyone else, any of us know, that is still working at age 90?
I don't know anyone else.
Vin made it to 89.
Yeah.
Checked out at 85.
Right. My friend Dick Emberg unfortunately died at 81.
81.
Yeah. And he was still working, but still.
But I mean, even just in life.
Right. I don't know anybody.
People, I like my mom and Leo work. They're 90, or I'm sorry, they're 83 and 82.
What do you mean they work?
They work.
Yeah, like they're both employed. Have jobs.
They both have jobs.
So what do they do, Leo and not step?
Well,
mom,
he works at the...
Leo's a tour guide. Yeah. What's Donna doing?
Leo's a tour guide at Living
Which
Desert.
School, right?
My mom's the office lady at Jung Glen Middle School in Palm Desert.
Yeah,
wait,
there you go.
So Leo, not stepdad Leo, it's not like some volunteer thing he does when he wants to do it?
He's getting paid, dog.
It's a for-money thing.
Getting them checks.
It's a regular W-2, regular dog. Gig.
And
regular
mom
gig.
Still works at the school.
Wait a minute.
Still cranking away at the
Ramona
school.
Ramona just reminded me. He doesn't have a set schedule, but Bill Burtka is 91, and Bill might be 93 now.
Wow.
I gotta look that up. And he still is on the Laker payroll.
No, I mean, Hubie does like 10 games during the regular season, and then he'll do two rounds of the playoffs.
I'm not making 91.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Most people aren't making 91.
I'm not. Right? I'm not
Give me 85, 91. I'll sign up for right now.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take 85.
Yep.
It's a good number.
Yeah. My dad almost made 84. Your dad make 80?
No, 76.
Okay.
Yeah, same.
Yeah,
76.
All right, give me 85, I'll take it.
He went early. All right, on that note, we're out of here.
That was a real positive note.
Hey, when did
we're all going to die. Can't wait till we die. Hey, when did everybody's parents die? All right, we're back tomorrow at 1, 710 ESPN.